Do you have a list of who's on?
Okay, I believe it is rolling. Okay, do we have someone volunteering to take notes? If not, I can do that. Okay, new board members.
I can do it, Nathan. I don't think you should take notes and be the chair. It should always be.
I appreciate that, Aaron. Okay, new board members, as an FYI, notes are taken live during the board meetings, so usually one person will be designated to take those throughout the meeting. It's just basically a record of not just who's making motions and the votes, but also summaries of some of the discussion that goes on. So that's how that operates. Okay, Nathan Wakefield, I'm calling the meeting to order at 6:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll do a
daylight
roll.
Time.
What's that?
Eastern Daylight Time, right, Martin?
It's daylight time, yeah. You got the thing to say. Hey, Eastern Time.
we'll go with Eastern. It's same-ish. All right. Call the roll call. Nathan Wakefield, I am present. Mike Sullivan.
Present.
Martin Frost.
Here.
Jared Davis?
Here.
Noel Yee? Noel is absent. Kyle Johnson? Kyle is absent. Louis Seredek?
Seredek, here. I'll take
it
as well.
Okay, yeah, multiple people can do that. Okay, Louis is here. Lucho Fernandez?
Yep, here.
Thank you, Lucho. Warren Hammond?
Here.
And Aaron Stevens?
Here.
Okay, so we have two people missing. Now, can I have someone, would someone like to make a motion to approve this agenda?
I'll make the motion to approve the
agenda.
Yes.
All right, thank you, Warren. Can we get a second?
I can second.
Thank you, Lucho. Does anybody have any comments on the agenda?
Just that I don't have a World Juggling Day report, just so you know.
Okay.
You can leave it there if you
fair
want.
Fair enough, Aaron. Yeah, that report.
I'm not seeing it update. Is somebody taking notes, or am I on the wrong document?
I'm updating it.
I'm taking notes as well, but just on a file on my computer because I'm not on the internet right now.
I did, like I said, I did migrate it from my account to the IJA account.
Aaron is updating it live on Google Docs.
Yeah, I am seeing the update, so it is appearing for me. So, yeah. Okay. Vote. Does anybody oppose this agenda? Do we have any abstentions? Motion passes. Okay. Now we're going to approve the minutes. These minutes are from at the festival when we met. Would somebody like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move to approve the minutes. That was Warren.
Thank you, Warren. Can we get
that? That is Jared. I second.
Thank you, Jared. Okay, I summarized that the best I could. Does anybody have any discussion regarding the minutes from August 1st?
Did you write up the minutes? Is that what happened?
Are you able to click on that link?
From August 1st. Oh, you're talking about that one. Okay, got it. Just a little discussion. There's notes from our meeting at the festival, too, the membership meeting that need to be voted on, but that can be next month. But,
okay.
I have those in the email that somebody wrote up for us.
Next month, got it. Okay.
And the one other thing would be the minutes from June, I guess, probably were never voted on. for approval. But anyway, that has nothing to do with August 1st.
Okay. I can work that out, Aaron. Thank you. Okay. So this is the August 1st meeting minutes. Do we have any... Does anyone oppose this motion? Do we have any abstentions for this? August 1st meeting minutes are approved and the motion passes unanimously. Moving on to reports. I don't believe Cody is available with the post-IJ festival report yet. Have you had any contact with him, Aaron, or know what his status is?
Yeah, I don't know if he was contacted at all about this meeting. He's not on the Board Plus thing, so I don't know.
Okay, so he was his festival account was deactivated from Board Plus?
No, he was never on the Board Plus. I always sent it to him, to his festival email. I didn't think about that when I saw your email.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I imagine there's still a few things to...
Yeah, Veronique also is not on Board Plus, but I guess she ought to be for this upcoming year. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Things are looking good as far as I know. The finances, he's pretty well through with them to the best of his knowledge, and I think they're still being reviewed by Dennis and making sure Scott's got everything tied up. We have a couple odds and ends that we need to figure out if those are direct festival expenses. One question that has come up is whether the festival director payment would be a festival expense or if that comes out of general funding, which when we voted on it last year, we did not specify that. Me and Nathan had a little conversation about that, but I think that's a good thing to address sooner than later, not only for this finalized budget, Cody needs to know as soon as possible, but also for next year, because Veronique will also be in a similar situation.
Do we have any record about what's been traditionally done regarding that?
Yes. Well, when I was the paid director for 2011, my stipend, or whatever you want to call it, was paid out of festival revenue.
It was. Okay.
However, I think an argument can be made both ways, because without a fest, there's not much reason for the IJA, and so it's not like we're not going to have a fest, and it's not like... I think from now on, anyone who volunteers to be fest director is going to expect some kind of payment. So it is most likely to be an annual expense for the IJA, and I think we might as well just consider it an expense of the association.
That is my thought, too.
I disagree. It's clearly an expense of the festival. It's an expense that's necessary in order to put the festival on. That's, by definition, a festival expense.
Well, as I say, I don't think we're going to have a festival without a festival director, and therefore with no festival, what is there to the IJA?
But it's a festival expense. Sure, we're not going to have a World Juggling Day, event without whatever expense that might be, but it's the expense goes with the event.
Yes, I agree with you.
That expense also comes out of the general budget.
Yeah, I see your point, Martin, and I think both sides can be argued. I'm just putting it out there that I believe that it is it's rational and reasonable to think that it could be an expense of the association.
I definitely agree. I can see both ways on that.
I can see it both ways. My other thought about why I think it could be a general funding thing is that if the festival loses money and goes into the red, the general budget is still going to have to pay that expense. Like, it's not like it just doesn't exist if the festival loses money.
Yeah, that's very true, Aaron. That's right.
This is Warren. What are the practical reasons for having it come from either source? Like, what does it matter? Why does it matter whether it comes from the – I mean, and I'm sure there's a reason, so I'd just like to explore what it is.
Right. Essentially, there's got to be a budget report from the festival, and there also has to be – annual budget created, like that states how much money will be spent on what. For this year, for example, the $5,000 was included in the festival budget, like projected budget, and it was not included in the annual budget for the general fund. But I mean, essentially, it's more like just knowing what the end income is from the festival and what the end income is from the general funding of the IJA, like membership and things like that. So. you know.
So then,
we paid
$5,000.
So it's like without paying that out of the festival, essentially we might make $10,000 to $12,000. It looks like, on a liberal scale for the festival. If we do consider the $5,000 out of it, then we made $5,000 to $6,000. So it just
Since it sounds like the position could be argued either way, is there a benefit to the organization to have it come out of one versus the other? Because I think that should be the determining factor then.
Yeah, would our financial officer have anything to say about that, like where it looks best on paper for that reason?
Yeah, exactly. Like, to me, that's where discussion.
Our bookkeeper is the CPA. I think he would have a professional opinion on this, but I agree that all of us can argue it and support it for either case.
For both ways, totally.
Yeah. Would you guys like me to speak with Dennis to see if there is a procedural way to go about this? Okay, I'm going to make a note of that, and I will contact Dennis regarding this.
Yeah.
Essentially, Cody's...
He will have an opinion on it.
Right.
Basically, if you want to make the fest look like it made more money, don't charge the festival director to that.
Exactly.
If you want to make it look like the festival made more money,
that's just hiding the expense. That's just a way to hide the expense. I don't think that's a good way to do it. But sure, contact him. I'm sure he'll agree that.
Okay, so that's kind of like the opposite of being transparent. You think that's kind of, you know, kind of a shifty way to do that when we send out our books?
Yeah, so that you can say, last year we made 10 books. We didn't. We only made 5. You know, so it's just a, you know, it's an expense.
Okay.
Because we did spend $5,000 on that festival. I see that side too.
Well, like I said, I'll talk to Dennis, and I just think we should have, like, an established way going forward so we're not kind of flip-flopping each year, because I think that could be an issue. But beyond that, I think either
the other thing to look at for this year, the other thing to look at for this year is that, like I said, budget-wise, what we had and what we wrote was Cody had that in the projected festival budget, and I did not have that in the projected annual budget. So, I mean, you know, that makes sense for this year because
then for consistency's sake.
Fact. Alone, yeah. However, also Cody has requested that if $5,000 is taken out of the festival budget or is like part of that, that anything that went towards the Quebec festival, like the stickers and the like little Quebec party and things like that, not be taken out of this festival budget, but be taken out of next year's. And I don't know, that would be another decision, but. And I see the reason there is a specific marketing budget for Quebec, and so that should be reflective of their marketing budget, not
this. That's right. And even though we made cash payouts at Purdue for those items, they should be charged against next year's festival budget.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Okay. Sounds good. 2012 IJ Festival, I've been in contact with Veronique, so things are definitely going on. Her team is doing a lot of, like, online promotion and data gathering that's quite unorthodox, but it seems to be effective. They seem to have a really tight plan as to how to promote this and getting this going very soon. We're also in the process of reserving the venues and making the payments on that. So things are moving along pretty smoothly with the 2015 festival. I guess we will go on to future festival planning.
Can we do a discussion really quick?
Oh, absolutely.
Sorry, I'm talking too much and not taping up. I'll catch up. Just one thing I really wanted to highlight is one of mine and Veronique's goals was to really enhance the year in advance promotion for the festival, which has been lacking the last couple of years. And I think both the video and the stickers were a huge hit and a huge success, and I just encourage that for future years. So talking to Jim Maxwell now about starting to have promotional material ready for El Paso at the festival, and then the fact that we like posted the video directly after the festival when energy was already super high and excited was like the best idea ever, and it went, you know, got super popular because of that. So
I concur, it's definitely beneficial to promote at the previous year's festival and have that in place. Okay, is there any further discussion on the 2015 festival?
Bravo, Aaron.
Oh. Thanks.
Okay. Moving on to future festival planning with Mike Sullivan.
Okay, thank you, Nathan. And the 2016 contract for El Paso is ready at long last, and it is a clean, good contract that delivers on all the promises they made us. I would urge the board to approve it, for Nathan to sign it, and for us to send in our deposit, and we are set for El Paso. I both met with our sales rep from El Paso this past weekend when she was here in Orlando for a conference I went to, and have talked to her, showed her the Compact 2015 video, and they are committed to producing such a video to promote El Paso 2016, and she will be in Quebec for at least Thursday and Friday, and possibly Thursday, Friday, Saturday next year, to promote El Paso as well. So they are very, very excited about our conference, and they are investing heavily to make our 2016 festival there a success. Moving on to 17, my report, you read about Athens, Georgia, and Dubuque, Iowa, as well as my comments at the festival. Also, in addition, this past weekend, I attended this reverse trade show conference here in Orlando, where I met with 46 potential future venue hosts, and I would say we have about 10 that are good prospects, and probably 5 of those I will be very interested in following up with. You can read about that in my report as well. And then finally, you'll read about my interest and decision to enroll the IJA in, I think, what is going to be the first professional organization we have ever become a member of, which is the National Association of Sports Commissions. This is a association that I became aware of about 3 years ago, and it looks like an ideal fit for our needs in finding future festival sites and also in making the IJA more professional in the way we both find and conduct our festival venue process. And so I donated the membership fee for that, and we are now a member of the NASC. And I uploaded our festival specifications to their database yesterday, and I've already gotten 4 very good leads from that. So this is already paying off, and I think it will be a good thing for us to be a part of for many years to come. In addition, I plan to attend their conference next April in Milwaukee, where I'll be able to meet with up to 2,000 potential festival site hosts. So I just want to let the board know about that. I hope they agree with my decision to make that happen, and it should be a good thing for the IJA, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Sounds good, Mike. Really appreciate the initiative.
Can you tell us the name again, Mike?
What's that, Aaron?
What's the name of it? The National Sports something?
Yeah, it's called the National Association of Sports Commissions, and their website is Sports Commissions. Yep, sportscommissions.org.
Okay.
Sportscommissions.org, and we are now a member association.
So in addition to these contacts, what else does it? What else does it get us?
Well, they have a lot of professional development resources. For example,
very
sample
cool.
Bylaws, sample documents, webinars, training, networking with other people that do what we do, as well as suppliers, vendors. We get respect and visibility as being part of this association. We will, when I pass on from this job, whoever keeps me will be able to benefit from all of these things as well and not have to invent the wheel all over again. So there's a lot of benefits, and it costs $100 a year, so I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And do we have any responsibilities to them or anything other than just paying them $100 a year?
No, it's all benefit on our side because the way they make the organization work is that the suppliers and vendors pay all the freight, And they're, you know, we're the client and they're the seller.
Right.
And yeah. So it's in their interest to fund and support the organization. So, for example, their membership dues are $800 a year or as much as $10,000 a year if they're a big association or a sports complex or something.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah. Are you listed as the contact through them?
Well,
so if they need
I am because I had to fill out the application. But all the staff members of the IJA are also members of the NASC. And so if anyone's interested, I can send you the login info to their website, which, by the way, is excellent. And you can access the members-only information on there and see what it's all about.
Okay.
So if any of you would like that, just let me know and I can send that to you.
Great. Any further discussion? Okay. We will move on to the Youth Juggling Academy report. Fairly brief. Did everyone get a chance to look that over?
I don't think I saw that. So no.
All right.
Was that in the minutes or was that in?
I linked it in the on the agenda, but you know, like I said, there was some issues with.
You know what? It might have.
Mike Sullivan.
I missed it.
I got caught up there. Was there anything for me?
No, you're all set, Mike. Thanks. We're
okay, thanks.
Moving on to the YJA. Okay, you know, I'm just gonna read
just
it.
Just so you know, Warren, like there will be these blue things in the report section, and that's any report that's been
included.
And usually that'll be a link to the article that that's written to, and it's
for whatever reason.
Right folder.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I saw the one for El Paso. I missed this one, so I went back in just now and I saw the link. But like I said, I don't have internet access now, so I can't see it.
That's all good. Yeah, it's. Generally speaking, you know, they'll be put in links usually, so most of the time we kind of click through them. But I'll just go ahead and read this real quick. It's a pretty good summary, pretty short and solid summary. So just Ellen says that during the IJA festival, we had a YJA rep meeting. Throughout the week, I also met with several youth instructors who are not currently involved in YJA but would like to join. I tested youth for merit buttons who do not have YJA representatives in their area that can certify them. We'll be having an organizer's meeting later this month to discuss updating our website on the IJA page. The next round of merit buttons will be released and incorporation of our new representatives. We conducted our first raffle for kids who have already earned merit buttons. Hillary Ann from San... So that is Ms. Winter's report. For those unfamiliar, the YJA does have a small team that meets together to kind of coordinate the direction of that program. There are merit buttons that were made recently to kind of distribute to students within individual pods. And she did contact me recently because previously we were known as YEP, and we rebranded as YJA, and so now they need to update their website presence, so that's something that is going to get done eventually. So is there any discussion on the YJA?
Well, I just want to say it must be very impressive for everyone involved in YJA to have a current IJA gold medalist running the operation.
Yeah, fantastic. Very, very nice.
I was going to say something. I spaced it. Never mind.
All right. If there is no further discussion, then we will move on to marketing. Erin, would you like to discuss this?
Sure. So, marketing. I just typed some things so I could talk and not type. The Facebook page is rocking. It's doing great. One of the big focuses since the festival is for better promotion of eJuggle content and to start releasing it more close to when it's released on eJuggle. So I asked Scott to make it so I get an email now every time something's released so that I'll know right away and can post that right away. ideally what I want to aim for, and this would be something to talk to Scott about, is for anytime it's posted, for the IJ to be the very first person to post it, and then for the people who, like, wrote the articles or made the videos or whatever to share it from the IJ page, because every time you get a share, it helps the IJ posts get more attention and stuff, and having all the posts go from one specific central place on Facebook is really beneficial, rather than, like, David Kane posted over here and then so-and-so posted over here. Like, if it all came out of the IJ page, that would be great for us and great for eJuggle in general. So that would be a shift I'd like to see happen soon. Trying to do lots of good international coverage with the festival, where there was a lot of just total focus on the festival for a bit. And one thing I've found that really works for the IJ page is to make sure it's not just about the IJ events, but also about everything else happening in the world. So really trying to keep that balance. We just reached 16,000 likes this month, so that's great.
Wow.
And in general, we get 100 to 500 likes on it, like, every post recently. So that's really cool, too. I would like to shift out of the primary Facebook posting position. I wasn't supposed to be the marketer this year, but that kind of got thrown on me. So I'm doing it for now until we find somebody else, but I know later we're going to be talking about officer positions and seeing if there's somebody else who can step in. Another thing would be to ideally, like, I know, Nathan, right now you're doing the posts to, like, Reddit and different forums and stuff. Having the marketer be the person who posts everything for...
I think that would be very logical, yes.
Yeah. So that would be some of my goals for the coming year. I do, however, love doing the Facebook page, so it will be hard to give it up, but at the same time, I need to focus on other parts of my life. So.
Excellent. Okay, is there any further discussion on marketing?
Has any... Or, never mind. Nope. Conversation for later.
Okay.
All right. That being the case, we'll move on. Erin, do you have anything to talk about with the IRCs?
I sure do. So this is a big, exciting one. So just so everyone knows, the prize for the IRCs, and just so everyone, all the new board members know what the IRCs are, it's the IJ Regional Competitions. Started in 2011. There's been five of them in three different countries, Brazil, Chile, and Mexico, just for hindsight stuff. It has always been a prize that the winner would be flown into the IJA to perform and teach workshops and represent their country at our festival. But because of visas mainly, it's never happened in the past. And so this year, Nino Malabares, also, or Adrian Torres from Mexico, he was the 2013 winner. He was flown into the IJ, and he was a huge addition to the festival. People just raved about him all week long. He got to perform. And not only did, like, people at the IJ love it from everything I've heard, but also everyone in Mexico was going crazy that he was at the IJ. Like, every photo, everything, like, the Mexicans were just super thrilled that he was there. Which is kind of the goal, you know, is to, like, just that international camaraderie and excitement. So then, right after the festival, also for new board members, we have an unnamed donor right now, which we will also be talking about later, but this person's funding our website design. This person also funded $2,500 for a mini fund at the IJA this year, on the spot when they found out that IWI's fund had been canceled. And they've now asked to be called UNAMED. They now have a secret name, too, which I realized, I thought it was like a medical person, so it was like UNAMED, but it turns out UNAMED, you say it together, and it's unnamed, just broken up. So
I told you that when you read it to me, Aaron.
Did I? Oh, I didn't remember that.
Well,
I read that when I was typing it out one day.
Both of our brains were fried right after Cascade.
Boy,
I told you that.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad you realize that, yeah. So, anyhow, this person wrote me right after the festival saying they want to continue doing a fund, but probably on a smaller scale than IWI, so we'll be talking about that later. And they also asked, what would be possible for the IRCs if money wasn't an issue? And I was like, oh, my God. and basically said that they were really excited by having Nino there and really loved finding out about this program and stuff, and said, I like problems that can be solved with money. Tell me what you think.
we like that.
So, essentially, we've been talking. I told them, like, all the different things that are currently paid for, who's responsible for what, that we recently, just so everyone knows too, like, we recently cut the prize of flying people in just because as far as growth goes and because of the visa issues, we decided, like, it would be better to just give them the prize money, give them a lot of promotion and publicity and stuff like that. And to be able to grow, we just didn't have the budget to fly people into, and we weren't getting the donations that I'd originally hoped for. So they were interested in that. But then what it came down to is the festival, hosting festivals, sorry, I'm long-winded, hosting festivals are responsible for flying in an IGA representative, which has been me in the past, but whoever it'll be in the future. And those festivals have ended up having a really hard time doing it. Like in Chile, they just didn't have the money. Brazil didn't have money. I think they only ended up paying for me to go to one in Mexico, and I've paid out of pocket pretty much for all the others. And I just don't have the money to do that anymore. So we're planning to do one in Peru, Costa Rica, and Mexico this year, and I have hosting festivals and people ready and willing to organize these. And they were planning to try to raise the money to fly me in and everything. UNAMED basically said she's going to cover all of my travel expenses to go down so that the festivals don't have to raise that money and can focus on their festivals instead. So that's where it's at.
Great.
It's pretty cool. So plans are to have a South American, Central American, and Mexican IRC this coming year.
That's awesome, Aaron. Is there any questions or comments?
This is Warren. Having been past championships director and judge and organized festivals and things, the IRC position is something I could potentially see myself being involved in or transitioning into if you're going to get out of.
That's one of the ones I'm planning to continue.
I wasn't sure.
Just because it's my baby.
Were you planning to continue?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That one and World Juggling Day are two things I'm planning to continue in.
Yeah. If you need help with that one, then that's something that I feel like I have some knowledge about.
Totally.
Yep.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, sorry, this is Lucho. I'm also really would like to be part of this because now that I'm here in Europe, I think I can help a bit. And I don't know, I'm just asking, why we didn't have this kind of regional conventions here in Europe and it's only in South America? There is any specific reason?
Yeah, well, so basically it was me and Tom Wall who really started the program. And essentially we started just by doing Mexico, just kind of a trial. And then the next year we did, I think, two the next year. The goal was to do three this past year, but because I was chairwoman and Tom was out of the picture, I only ended up doing one. So now for this coming year, we're planning to do three. But essentially we want to build really slowly so that we can build sustainably, because to have 15 all of a sudden would be overwhelming budget-wise, overwhelming work-wise, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we also chose to focus on Latin America specifically because we felt and what we learned by going there is that, like, Europe's got its own scene. It's got, you know, it's well known. The jugglers are known. The scenes are known. They also have been very anti-competition for a long time. A lot of jugglers have expressed anti-competition sentiments, whereas Latin America is kind of more of the Western pro-competition type mentality, and they immediately are like, yes, we'd love to do this. And so kind of the thought behind it was start in Latin America, where, number one, the jugglers aren't as known, and we can really help those cultures be exposed, which the cultures already exist. The jugglers exist. Like,
yeah.
Circo Chile has 1,200 attendees at their festival. It's just helping them be more exposed on an international level. And so that was kind of the mentality of starting in Latin America. And then, like, next year I'd love to add Japan or Australia, I know, is interested, and hopefully Europe, too, will be interested in finding a country and festival that would want to host that. But, yeah.
Okay. So we can think in the future to maybe extend it to somewhere else. That's cool.
Yes, lots of places, ideally.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great.
And, I mean, long-term dream, like, for me, kind of, you know, and it hasn't been something that the board has said specifically, but, like, when I think about what this could lead to in the future if it grew and if it had funding and things like that, would be that essentially the winners of each of the regional championships or regional competitions would qualify to be in the actual international championships, the IJ championships, and that would be how you would qualify to compete. So then the IJ championships would actually be a competition of people from around the world representing their region. So that's like long-term dream type thing, but yeah. I don't think it would be cool.
Lots of possibilities. Okay, any further discussion on IRCs? All right.
Karen, did you say the donor here is the same donor as helping with the AMS?
Yep.
Okay.
So this
I did not realize that when they first wrote me about giving the $2,500 at the festival. And then they were like, oh, I thought you knew. And I was like, well, it could have been another unnamed donor email address. I don't know. So, yeah, that's the same person.
Okay. Let's move on to membership. The numbers are posted there. If anyone wants to look those over. Is there any discussion on membership? Okay.
One question.
Sure, yeah.
Can Marilyn Wheat continue with this position, or this will be open to renew?
I believe it'll be open, but she's been doing this for quite some time. I don't know, Mike, if you have any insight if she plans to continue?
Yes, plans to continue.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds good. Any other discussion? Okay. I don't believe we have any financial reports.
Nathan, can I ask, has anyone heard from Scott, our treasurer, or Dennis about preliminary Fest P&L?
I have been in touch with Dennis, not about the festival P&L. I did get a message from Scott. He said something like he was away, but he would address a few things when he got back into Wisconsin. I don't know if he's traveling, but I have not gotten any P&L from him regarding any documents of that nature, no.
We do have, Cody's finalized budget has both the profits and loss, I think, but I don't know the difference really too much between just the budget and a P&L statement. I think Cody, though, needs to know the final information on the $5,000 and the Canada stuff and all that before he can pass on the final numbers.
Okay, so Scott needs to pass that on to Cody, is that correct?
Well, I think it's up to our professional CPA bookkeeper to rationalize all the numbers and tell us what happened.
Okay.
Okay, I'm making a note of this right now.
Yeah, totally. He's the guy. Oh, show. Another thing, Scott has not been responsive to anything. I asked him several times if he has sent a check to one of our performers that we need to send a check to right away after the festival, and I wrote him that email right away, and I've sent him follow-up emails 3 or 4 times and heard nothing.
We haven't paid one of our performers?
It's frustrating. Well, we didn't have a check written for him, and, well, I don't know, because Scott hasn't responded. I wrote him saying, we need to mail this check right away, please let me know as soon as it's been done, and got no response, and then I wrote him 3 other times, I CC'd you and a couple of them, Nathan, saying, hi, I'd really like to know if this has been sent, and I've gotten no response, so I just don't know, and that's super unprofessional, and it's a bit frustrating, so it would be great if, I don't know.
Yeah.
We got
okay.
No response on that.
Okay.
But
you,
it's been common, so it's been common.
Okay. I will look into, I will speak with Dennis. Do we have any other thing regarding finances that need to be addressed imminently? Okay. There's no further discussion. We will move on to the AMS report with Mike Sullivan.
Okay, well.
Mike, real quick. I gave a little bit of a background to the new board members, but it might be good to kind of preface a little bit with.
Sure.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, well, anyone who's looked at juggle.org knows that our website needs a major, major overhaul, and that's the first thing. The second thing is that we really don't have any kind of cohesive system for managing the association as far as memberships, event management for our festival, board documents, board communication, member communication, anything. So it's all been put together over the last 20 years by well-meaning volunteers who have jumped in and done something to make something happen. But we're all grown up now, and the Internet is here to stay. So 3 years ago, I decided to start an initiative to move the IJA onto something called an association management system. We are not unique little snowflakes. Tens of thousands of associations just like us have all the same problems we do and many more. And believe it or not, an entire industry of web-based and other types of systems have sprung up to solve all of these problems for us. And so about 3 years ago, we got a grant from a donor to do a needs analysis and consultant study to figure out what we needed and what we should consider. And then about 2 years went by and nothing happened. And then early this year, the unnamed donor that Aaron mentioned came forward and offered to fund or underwrite this initiative. And so through negotiations with them, they very generously agreed to fund the package for 3 years so that IJA can get a good foothold on this thing and we don't get cold feet and back out halfway into it. And we negotiated a very good deal with the supplier. That 3 year time clock starts on October 15th. And in exchange for paying for 3 years in advance, we got a discount, plus we got them to waive the $2,500 startup fee. So all that is good. But what we need now is a small team of people who are adept at Internet-type things and computer-type things and have some time to devote to helping Marilyn and I as the team leaders to bring this new system onto its feet and start converting and migrating a lot of both archival data and implementing features one by one. And as you know, it's already the end of August, and so we've got about 45 days to identify and sign up a few people on this small team that are willing to work on this over the next, I would say, year. And I have modest goals for the first 3 or 4 months, but I think we will see dramatic improvements in a lot of areas of IJA operation by early next year. And in fact, the timing couldn't be better because with no U.S.-based festival that we will be managing next year, it gives us a whole year to stand up the entire system and have everything online and running well by the time we actually have to produce a new festival for 2016. So that's all by way of preface. Yes, go ahead, Erin.
I was just going to say that we haven't talked directly to Veronique about whether or not she's hoping to use this system for their registration as well.
Well, I would say without any doubt, we cannot promise that. We don't want to do that. We want them to run the registration for Quebec City because, you know, it's going to be there. It's going to be, by law, required to be bilingual. And, you know, we're paying them to basically run this festival for us.
Well, we're paying them to run the festival, but we paid Cody the same amount, and we didn't require him to do the registration.
Because we're all here, you know. I think it should, and I'm sure Turbo 418 has some kind of registration system. Well, I would hope they do. Maybe they don't. Maybe people just show up and pay when they get there. But, in any case,
it would be a good discussion to have either way.
Seeing
what she's expecting and not just assuming that she, because, I mean, every festival we've done, the IJA has helped out. It hasn't been like
Correct.
Hey, you're in charge
in
of
any, in any case, even if they wanted us to do registration, we would have 6 months to get that part of the system up and running until next March when we would have to turn on registration for next year's fest. So, speaking to the board that's on the call now, and we probably want to put this in e-news if we still have time, we would like to put out a call for website team volunteers to assist in, you know, not a lot of work, but it's going to be a lot of, you know, I would say high-level clerical work in migrating data and porting things over and helping check and edit and so on. So that's what we're looking to do now, and we have about 45 days to get that team assembled.
Okay. One thing I'd like to add. One thing I would like to add before we go into further discussion is there is definitely a little bit of a sense of, I don't want to say urgency, but a good sense to get this done sooner than later, not just in the sense of updating our image, but talking to Turbo4118, one of their provisions in working and hosting our festival is that they want, because they're being attached to our brand, they want a better website and image
right.
for us so that it reflects on them. And right now, they're not really comfortable
right.
actively promoting themselves overly so, being affiliated with us online with our current
yeah.
web presence. And I've spoken with Veronique, and she's really leaning on us for that.
Yeah. Well, I agree 100%. And I would feel the same way if I was in their shoes. And so I think that we can get the public-facing website function turned up pretty quick, well
yeah.
before the end of the year would be my guess, and,
right.
And put a lot of the 2015 festival info on there as a first measure so that they have something nice they can link to and point to, and the parts of our website that will be relevant for the next 6 months will look good pretty quickly, I hope.
When do you think the flashiness could be implemented roughly, Mike?
Well, you know, a lot of that is going to have to do with whether the IJA wants to invest in new logo and branding and colors and things like that.
Right. Yeah, that's
something I know that's been talked about
a bit.
We need to get on it now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think ultimately what I think would be a good idea is to, you know, recruit a team and then create kind of a rough calendar with certain deadlines that we can kind of check off throughout the next calendar year, and then we could also report some of this back, or I could report it to Vero, so she's kind of in the loop, and everybody's kind of, you know, up to date, and everything's moving along. Does that mm-hmm. sound good, Mike, or do you have a specific plan of action?
Well, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to contact the supplier and ask them if they have a preliminary timetable of what they recommend for new clients as far as an order of execution on what things to turn on and light up first. And I will express to them our interest in getting a lot of public-facing items and member communication items turned up first. And simultaneously, I think IJA board needs to find and authorize a branding campaign to, you know, develop and approve possibly a new logo, I think at a minimum, and new color schemes and new slogans or whatever else that will go on our new website.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree, Mike.
Yeah, so a lot of this will happen pretty quickly, and I would think by the end of this calendar year, just 60 days or so after we start the process, we will have the ability to turn on a new public-facing website with a lot of the basic functions enabled for the public and some of our membership functions as well.
Mm-hmm. How big of a team are you envisioning?
4 or 5 people. So Marilyn and myself, we'll handle a lot of it. And we're retired. We have the time to work on this. We have the interest to do it, and we have the expertise to do it. And Marilyn's the membership director already, so converting the membership function will be something we'll do, you know, of course. But I would like to get Don Lewis involved. I would like to see if Martin has any interest in this. I would like to see if our current webmaster, David Landown, has any interest in working on this. and just be able to tap them for certain tasks that we run into if we run into them.
I'd also really love to suggest Louis, just because I know I talked to him about this as we were starting, and
I was waiting for that.
As far as the image part goes and the cool part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to get to talk with you, Mike, at some point back and forth, and then generally talk with everybody, put some color schemes together, put some logo ideas together, kind of give us something so we can start chewing on what that actually is, and I can put that out in the next couple weeks. One thing I don't know about, though, is do we keep it internal, the rebranding and the idea and trying to come up with ideas? Because there's a lot of great artists in the juggling world and the use of it. I wonder how far we put it out to...
Well, that's up to the board. I mean, you know, the board can authorize a budget for this, and then, you know, it's really unethical to ask people to submit designs without paying them. So I think if the board wanted to go that way, you would have to first pick a designer based on their past portfolio of work and give them a commission to do what we want under our direction. But, you know, it's not really ethical to ask people to create a look or a brand or a logo for us on spec for free and then tell them later if they want it or not, you know.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out a way to capture people who aren't us, a little bit of, like, what other people see us as, how are we, I guess it comes from internally, who we are, who we want, and how we want to present ourselves.
This can also go on the Facebook page and on eJuggle, and what I would recommend is that we post a blurb on the Facebook page that points people to eJuggle or to the page on the IJA website explaining this process.
Great. Well, maybe, Mike, you and I could exchange some emails over the next week because I'd like to be on that small group with you.
Okay, very good.
Look at things, and we can go over what I can contribute and how I can help and all that.
Yep.
Who's that? Yeah. I totally, because I absolutely love
Louis.
Everything that Louis has done, Louis done too, design-wise, but I know others are out there as well. But as far as moving forward with this quickly, too, not doing too much of a huge call for artists, or maybe, you know, maybe that's fine, but just somebody needs to manage that and make sure it happens.
But maybe I can get something going enough to where it can evolve. This is our idea, this is our kind of gross attempt at this book and what it is, what the new feel is, and then we can refine it as we start to bring the back end up to speed as well.
Yeah. Well, I think the professional way to go about that is to put out a call for designers and have them submit samples of their work and portfolio and other clients they've worked for, and then the board chooses one based on that, and then we give them a commission, you know, maybe $1,000 or so to design a logo and a color scheme and branding and typography for the new IJA look.
Great. Okay, that sounds good. So given the list of names we had for the website team, is this something we still want to send out an open recruiting call for, or just kind of send out messages to people that we already had in mind, barring any graphic design work? What are the thoughts there?
Yeah, I feel comfortable either way. There may be a lot of hidden talent out there that we're not aware of. That would be nice to surface at this point if we're getting at the beginning of this big project. But the people that I mentioned and those that you have mentioned are you know, excellent candidates if they will agree to take it on.
It might not
be with them.
Some new blood in here. Also, I understand that we have graphic designer, Cesar Delgado. I don't know anything about him, but Sharon, don't you?
Yeah, he hasn't done too much this last year, but I will say, he ended up staying in school and didn't do a whole lot, so.
Okay.
Louis ended up stepping up for a lot, which is great. There are a couple artists that I would love to suggest as far as graphic design work. The other thing, we put out a call for all the officers last year. There were two responses for the webmaster position. One was Heather Marriott, who then became the store manager. But she has a lot of website design and interest in helping the IJA or website experience. And then there was another guy who ended up being part of the web team with Scott Krause and tried to, I know, emailed Mike several times trying to figure out how he could help and never really found a way that he could fit into the process. So I think he'd be open to helping as well.
Who was that, Aaron?
I can't remember his name right now, but I'll find the emails.
Okay.
But he was part of our website team and had sent various things, being like, hey, I want to help move things in the right direction, and just kind of stopped getting responses. So he would be pretty interested as well, I think.
So you think Heather might be interested?
It's worth asking, you know, and I mean, same thing. Like, I could ask Heather and I could ask the guy, the other guy, and just say, hey,
yeah,
this is where we're at, this is what's going on,
yeah,
this is what we need from the team.
Yeah.
Are you interested? And just like,
yeah,
maybe you want to write the bid. Martin,
let's definitely do that.
And just check with those people too.
And is it too late to get an item in the e-news for August about this, about the call for designers?
Not too late.
Not too late.
It is not
too late. There's also going to be a call for officer positions in there, too.
Yeah, we could tie that all together somehow.
I would say, we don't want to mix this up with a call for officer,
yeah,
because this is a new position.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I agree. I think we should make separate items. I would be happy to write an item and send it to Don and Martin for this month's newsletter about the call for designers.
Yeah, please do that. I mean, it's not just designers, it's AMS managers or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that sounds good.
With that, too, with the AMS managers, I would say the whole call for artists, too. I mean, I know we're last minute for August already, but if we don't do it, you're already at the end of September, and it would be great to start making progress and at least getting responses. But that puts a lot of calls out in the August newsletter right away.
We have plenty of time for the August newsletter. It's we still have 4 days left in August, so got that much
plenty
time.
Of time. Cool.
Great. Okay, I don't want to dwell on this too much. We can do a lot of this discussion offline. I think we've made a lot of progress here. Is there anything else we'd like to mention real briefly regarding AMS and website design? Okay, that being the case,
I am going to have to leave here pretty quick, and I'm the one taking notes.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll take up for you. I'll take up for you, Aaron.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Cool. I'll finish my sentence here, and then you can start on questions. Okay. Yeah, sorry. I have to leave early, guys, but good luck with things.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
This is Warren. I may be doing something loud on my end in the next minute, and I know there's a way to mute my phone, so I couldn't find that note. I believe it's, does anybody have that information handy?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
How to mute my microphone on my end. You can do it through the conference software. I've done it before.
I do not have that knowledge.
All right.
What kind of phone do you have?
It's an iPhone.
You can mute that. That's easy.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
How do I do that?
I do it about every 10 seconds here. You have to get up the. It should be right on the face of the phone. It should have a big.
If you hit hide, the button next to the hide usually, and then it goes to like the menu sort of.
Whoa! Thanks. All right.
Okay, good to know. Moving on to motions for consideration, we have one motion this month. That is the motion to approve the 2016 El Paso Convention and Performing Arts Center contract. Did everyone get a chance to look that over?
Yep.
I did, but was there anything in particular I should be looking at? This is it's a giant legalese document.
Right.
No.
I've
read it
that I should notice.
Times, and Jim Maxwell read it, and it was one of the best-looking contracts I've ever seen when we got it. So if you're willing to take my word for it, I would urge you to sign it. It's in good shape.
Yeah.
What makes this one so good, just out of curiosity?
Well, it's very specific and comprehensive. Unlike the contract we were given by Purdue, all the prices are in here. All the dates are in here. What they're going to do is in here. What we're expected to do is in here. So, you know, they run about 500 events a year through their buildings, and they're real good at writing contracts, and this is a big national company, so they've got it down.
Fantastic. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Great. The one comment I had, Mike, I just wanted to make sure that this wouldn't pose a problem, because it requires my signature at the bottom, but at the top it has Aaron Stevens listed as the contact person. Is that
additional? Okay, that's right. I would, with your pen, strike out Aaron's name and write in your name, Nathan, and put your initials next to it, and that'll be fine.
Okay, I can take care of that.
When they sent us the first draft, it was still in May, but they had a couple months where they were super busy and so couldn't get us the next draft.
Right. I just want to make sure that's an issue. The only other thing I noticed is in your email to me, you said is if they got it by, I think it was September 5th.
Yeah.
It should be fine. I thought I saw in the contract they needed it by September 2nd. Is that an issue?
I just looked at it again today, and I thought it was September 6th is when they want the deposit check. So, as long as we tell them it's on the way, it's not going to be a problem. So if the board agrees to sign it tonight, I will write to them tonight and tell them it's on the way, and they'll be fine with that.
Okay. Oh, it was return of contract. Completed contract must be returned to El Paso Convention Center offices by September 2nd, accompanied by payment under XLX. I'm just wondering if this is approved. Is this something that should be overnighted, or is that a hard deadline?
Well, it's their deadline. We can. Yeah, I would urge you to send it by USPS Priority Mail, which will be 2 days, and they'll have it this week yet. If you send it tomorrow, they'll have it Friday.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that deadline because it was different in the other source I read. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any discussion? Oh. Sorry. Would someone like to make a motion regarding this?
This is Louie. I'll make the motion.
All right, Louie.
This is Warren. I'll second it.
Okay. Are you taking notes, Mike?
Yes. Louie, right. Wait, hang on.
Great.
Let me get back to
Louie.
And who seconded? Warren. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mike. I suppose we did discuss some of it already, but is there any further discussion regarding this contract?
No, just one point I would like to know if you can clarify. There is a point where it's talking about renovation and construction in the area. What is this about? You know?
Those are typically included in contracts just in case the city decides to rip up a sewer line or something. The area that in El Paso that we will be in is under a huge redevelopment project that will all be completed by next summer, a year before we arrive. So I'm sure they added those terms to their contracts for the clients that they have been signing for the last couple of years. But by the time we're done, that won't be a concern.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks.
Now, I am seeing something here regarding motion picture, radio, and television in the contract that says, in the event that the user wishes to film or broadcast the event or show the event, we agree to negotiate with the manager for services, and we agree to negotiate for all film broadcasting, recording, and other similar rights. If we have Jacob or whomever record this, is this something we need to create a separate contract with for the venue to discuss in advance?
No. Nathan, as you see there, there's a highlight in yellow that says see addendum item one. This section that you're talking about was one that I specifically objected to and wrote our own terms for, and they agreed to those terms without any reservation, and those are the terms included in Addendum 1. So you'll see in Addendum 1 that we get exclusive unlimited rights for all film and still photography for anything we want, and it's very favorable to us. So I would say you can ignore all of that, and we've covered that with an addendum.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Any further discussion? That being the case, let's move to a vote. Does anybody approve this, oppose this motion? Does anybody abstain from this motion? Motion passes unanimously. I will sign this, scan it, and send it out and have Dennis issue the payment. So the wheels are moving pretty fast for 2016. Great job. Awesome. Okay, that was the only motion this month. We're going to move on to Varia. A few of these items we've already touched upon a little bit, but these are just a few areas for discussion. First, there is the executive director discussion, which is something that we've been speaking about for a while, and I kind of touched upon it a little bit with the new board members. Basically, the idea is potentially, if it's feasible, board as well as creating a stable person to maintain the organization. This is much akin to a lot of nonprofits where the board are the decision makers and the executive director, the paid executive director, is essentially the implementer who sees a lot of the projects through. So it's just something that's been discussed for a while. A previous board member, Lloyd Timberlake, created a document that kind of outlined that was distributed at the members meeting at the festival as well as online. Does anybody have any comments on that or would like to talk about that at all?
This is Warren. I'd like to chat about it a little bit.
Warren.
What is the first step in moving in this direction now that we've – it sounds to me like we've basically just had discussion at this point, and it's at this point just kind of generally agreed upon that we're all in favor.
Correct.
So
there's not been any formal motion to have an executive director yet. Basically, to my understanding, and Mike or Martin, feel free to say if you think this is not ideal, but I think the first step would be to establish criteria and then make a vote to if we want to, if it's first of all established, if it's feasible, then make a vote to if we want to approve an executive director via motion and then put out the call for somebody, and then once we find someone, make another motion to approve said individual to that position. I believe that's the process that it would go through.
Yes, I think that's right, and I think the main function of the board would to be, first of all, decide whether or not the IJA should do this, and I would urge them to consider doing this. And secondly, once they've decided that, to define very clearly both the responsibility and the authority that this person will have so that once we hire someone, they can actually get things done.
I wholeheartedly agree. I will say the one new bit of information I had on this, I did talk to Dennis, our bookkeeper, a little bit. I just kind of wanted to see what his thoughts were from, like, a financial perspective, what we could afford and what he felt would be my good. He didn't really have a lot to say, but the one thing he did say is he did suggest that rather than hiring somebody half-time on an annual salary basis, is that we consider hiring somebody part-time on an hourly basis and agree on an hourly rate and then have, like, a weekly cap on hours. This way we could have somebody who, when there's not a lot going on, we wouldn't force them to work a lot of hours and pay them for a lot of hours that they're not working, but in other times when there's more going on, they could work more towards that cap, and that so we could kind of roller coaster their workload as the organization goes through projects. So that was his suggestion, is consider trying to make it an hourly position as opposed to a salary.
So here's my concern with that. It's an interesting idea, but I have a couple concerns.
Sure.
Number one is, are we actually going to find somebody who's going to be able to work hourly in a part-time capacity for a nebulous amount of money, right?
Right.
And then number two is I would be very surprised if we couldn't overload this person with work. So those are my two concerns. I guess a third thing that I think is a plus is I think with an hourly individual there could be more accountability to the board, and I think that's mm-hmm. a nice thing. So just a couple things to consider there, I think.
And the other way, Bill, maybe a hybrid of those two, which is to define the position at a flat rate per year and just expect the work to get done regardless of how many hours the person needs to do it.
Yeah, I think I'm more in, at least without having done a whole lot of research on this yet. But this seems something like what Mike said seems a little more ideal to me. You know, just set up
right.
some expectations. And again, if we do that, we've set up accountability, regardless of the number of hours. I guess he was just coming at it from a simple financial standpoint, wasn't he?
Yeah. He didn't.
Yeah,
that's
good to do, but I think it's, I think accountability is more important.
Yeah, I concur. Okay. That's one of the main benefits of this position is, you know,
exactly.
things will get done if we have, if we're paying somebody to have that level of accountability. So,
yeah. So, again, this was a couple minutes ago. Could you outline for me again the next, like the immediate next step we would want to take in moving in this direction?
It would likely be to establish a general criteria of duties, expectations and hours, and then as well as a financial plan for payment. And then we would approve that by vote, and then we would put out the call to wherever is decided is best. And then once
okay.
we have a candidate, then we can vote on that specific candidate.
And has anybody started heading up any kind of effort along this line?
Lloyd Timberlake wrote a proposal for it that was
right.
largely informational, but beyond that, no. There's been a few brainstorm sessions. I think it was Scott was talking about, I've not looked into this personally, but he said rather than hiring a really qualified candidate to work part-time, is seeking out an organization that specializes in this sort of thing, like kind of micromanaging nonprofit part-time with, like, different account managers. I don't know how that industry works, but that was an idea he threw out. So I think basically if this is – this is, again, I'm just speaking from what I've seen traditionally, is it's a generally a favorable thing going on right now.
Yeah.
So I think it would be good to gather information. I was hoping Dennis could give me a little better idea of financials because we don't want to – damage ourselves financially too much with this position.
Absolutely.
But
now, is this a kind of a thing that we need to get someone heading up in charge of? Do we need to put together a small team to start doing this, or should this just be the entire board?
I don't think a team is necessary, but I don't think it would hurt. So, I know you've been very passionate about this idea, Warren. If you want to kind of...
Yes.
put together some people, you know, on board or potentially board plus to kind of gather information about this and then present a report. We can kind of mill that over and then if possibly kind of streamline that into a motion to approve for the position itself. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Absolutely. Yeah, this was one of the there were a few things I felt very – first of all, that I have any kind of expertise in,
above the Warren,
and I
think
that
too.
Second, this is something I'm just more passionate about. I feel like possibly the most good that can be done right now for this organization, for this board, would be in this area, if you will. So yeah, this is my strong way about it.
This is Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have a couple examples of what the executive director could get done that we as the board and chairman can't do? Like, what are some of the moves that we're hoping this person will make?
So
So,
or like, what are the decisions that get made from this person?
Well, basically, the board would make the decisions, and this executive director would oversee them to make sure they get implemented and coordinated. Because currently, the board is largely making decisions and then implementing themselves, and that's why a lot of projects run slowly. A lot of projects don't get done at all. And there is a very high level of burnout with board members.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also other benefits, too, because, like we said, accountability goes a long way with you when you're paying somebody. There's also the fact that when the board turns over, it takes that much longer to kind of bring people up to speed within the organization because there's a lot of in and outs and some of the documented processes are ideal at this point. So we had a consistent person who's kind of in charge of managing processes and implementation, it would be that much easier to train people as well as know how everything is supposed to be as opposed to people inventing new ways or finding out, you know, things in roundabout ways.
So hopefully this person will possibly have like a 5-year term or something, or something that's a little longer lasting.
I mean, I don't think we could force a 5-year term specifically, but,
no, but
the idea would be to have
possible or something in a way.
Yeah, the idea would be to have someone long term. Yeah, and
so,
I think would.
Yeah, yep. Go ahead, finish your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, we could have like an annual, you know, they could pay this month per year and hope to find somebody that would have the intent of staying on for more than just turning over every year. So.
Great.
Another benefit of this, something that it was either Tom or Lloyd brought up in a discussion I was having with them about it. They think that a very high priority task of an executive director at this point would be to generate income in the form of grants or basically grants. Because
yeah, that's
another
that's
thing that would happen with an executive director is that if the executive director can then generate income, more money coming into the organization, then we then have more money to hire other staff members. And so we would transition, if I understand everything correctly, from what's called a working board, which is what Nathan described, where we, as the board of directors, we're also the managers, we're also the people doing the things. We would transition from that into just a board who makes the decisions and directs the organization in a positive direction, and then the staff would do everything. And so it would be the first step into a move for an organization that looks like that, which is actually much, 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 much more typical of a nonprofit organization than what we do. I think we're functioning under either an antiquated model or just one that was never really common in the first place.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's a very good point, Warren. Something I neglected to mention, but like Erin stated, much during her term is. The IJA has gotten to the point where we have a lot of programs going. We have the YJA, we have the IRCs, we have, you know, all this stuff going on, and that's really good for a nonprofit organization because that sets them up as an organization that does things outside of having a singular event, which may give them the credibility and the ability to explore things like sponsorship, grant writing. And that's something that would fall a lot on an executive director, hopefully somebody that not only has the time, but also the knowledge and expertise in those areas.
Exactly. It would be nice to have like that face, a face that is represented out in the world a little bit that people can get used to and, oh, great, the IJA guy's here.
Exactly. Yeah. It would do a lot for the organization. And another thing, last thing I'll mention that I think is important is this would also, in searching for a candidate, we would also look for someone from outside of the organization. We'd look for someone who is not a juggler because of just history of hiring people from within the organization and then when they've been tried to be held accountable, feelings getting hurt, and then us losing a lot of membership because there's this person who's been kind of feeling spurned from the IJA. Then leaves the IJA, and so do all of their friends. So it'll also help us, I think, keep members as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Warren. It may not be possible to find such a person, so I think you should consider both internal and external. But the other thing to mention is, without any doubt, I think this person should not be on the board of directors.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. That's a must. Yeah.
Right. For obvious reasons. I mean, they should be appointed and serve at the pleasure of the board and work at the board's direction, because if anything goes wrong and you decide to fire this person, if they're still on the board, you've got a lot of problems.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah,
you do.
I should also mention that historically there were a few times when we had paid officers who were a little too close to the juggling community and other board members, and that caused some negative feelings and some falling out. So that would be one benefit to getting somebody who's kind of outside from juggling, or at least outside from the board, and also somebody that is not, that we clearly define their role.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, Mike, yes, I think it would be better to have an executive director than no executive director, but I think we should do everything we can to hire someone from outside the organization. I think we could really shoot ourselves in the foot pretty hard by hiring someone from within. So,
I picture a retired sea captain who, like, had a cabin boy who juggled, so he appreciates it, but he's a no-nonsense sort of guy.
Nice.
There you go. Yeah, sure.
All right, guys. Well, this meeting is running a little long. I don't want to dwell on this too much. We can, like I said, we can discuss a lot of this offline, but if Warren, if you want to do some research and bounce some stuff off me, I can get some information. We can get some wheels turning to create some proposal, perhaps.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. Let's move on to website rebranding discussion. We already spoke a lot of this earlier with the AMS reports and when Aaron was here and Mike gave his good spiel, so we already have a course of action with that. The one thing I would like to mention is I really think, and I think the general feeling is this also, is that this is the ideal time not just to launch a new website, but to kind of overhaul our image specifically. Now, regarding the – I did find one thing I wanted to mention regarding our logo. I think it would definitely be a good idea to get a new logo, but in the bylaws, it does say that in Article 9, the logo of the corporate shall be a ring emblazoned with the name of the of the corporation surrounding three cross clubs, with one club shall have an I, one club shall have a J, and one club shall have an A emblazoned therein, et cetera, et cetera. So it's in our bylaws the way the logo has to be labeled.
Well,
out, but that
you can change the bylaws. That's all.
You can change the bylaws. By vote of the board.
Yeah. So that was my thinking, is we can either stylize this described logo or we can make a motion to revise the bylaws. So that's just something to keep in mind.
This is Warren. What's the thought behind specifically the logo? Everybody seems to feel like this is a very important thing to change, and I'm just curious as to why. Everybody seems very positive about it. I'm just not sure what the reason is.
Well, you know, everybody has their different reasons. I think a lot of it is just because it is so old, and a lot of it's kind of, I'm not a graphic designer, but it does not have a modern look. It's very two-dimensional. It's very straightforward. There's not a lot to it.
And most jugglers have no idea what is depicted in the IJA logo.
Yeah, I mean, the clubs in it are very old clubs. They don't look like PX3s, we'll put it that way.
And even IJA members don't realize that's supposed to be a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't even think
so
of that.
So I guess the idea is, do we want to fine-tune the image of the current logo to make it look more modern, or do we want to scrap that and do something totally different?
All new. Throw it under the bus and start fresh.
Well, okay. I feel like the clubs in it. Does it have balls in it? Does it have Diablo? Does it have – like, what are juggling paraphernalia has changed so much.
Right. Well, we don't want to overcomplicate it, you know.
You're not going to get a logo that simple.
There are many, many world-famous logos that are nothing more than the company's name or lettering.
Yeah,
and,
very true.
Rather than try and anticipate what juggling props the Japanese kids are going to start bringing into our festivals 10 years from now, we should probably just focus on some stylized depiction of IJA or juggle or something like that, and hope that a brilliant graphic designer can execute that vision for us.
To me, I would like to see, and I don't know if this is the time for this kind of discussion, but I'd like to see some recognition of our history and past. I mean, we're a very, very old organization, and that's a wonderful thing. And so, to me, I'd almost rather see a stylized version of the logo. You know, I think that may be a nice homage to our past, our history, you know, and the fact that we've been around for this long. I think that's a pretty big triumph just of the organization. And I think that also might help, you know, it's a Bill Cosby quote, like the biggest, fastest thing you can do to failure is to try and please everyone. But saying that, I think it might be, that actually might help do that. It might help keep some of the older guard happy while making it look new and appealing to the youth. So that's my...
I'm kind of in the same boat with you, Warren. I like the idea of keeping our old shape so it's recognizable, but making it more modern, like I said, have like the thinner clubs and maybe give it like some 3D imagery and maybe some gradients, change the coloration a bit, maybe the typeface on the lettering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for the website, all of that will work, and for, you know, some T-shirts and things, but our designer will also have to create pure black and white representations of all that, too, to use on letterhead and things
really
that only have monochrome printing and so on.
Right, so it should be friendly with monochrome.
That's a very good point.
All the best logos kind of work great in silhouette, too, is the idea. It's very black and white. It's the edges of things, yes.
Okay. Any other thoughts, Jared or Lucho?
No. Not really.
Not really? Okay. I guess, do we want to take this offline or discuss it more in the future, or do we want to build kind of a plan, a rough plan to get this going, kind of in conjunction with the website now? Do we want to tie this into...
This is Louie. Work with it a little bit, and then I can help work with lead up and do the artist push and do those sorts of things. I can work that angle of it.
Okay.
Who was that speaking?
Louie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Louie.
But I'm willing to work with everybody on it, but I can kind of put some stuff together over the next week or so and get a feel for where it's headed and maybe do a couple little mock-up logos and mess around so we have an idea of what we're going for. We can refine it internally a little bit before we put it out there.
Sounds good.
That sounds good. Right. Thanks. I like the idea of keeping momentum with this.
Well, now this also this goes into what we're doing in the board for the e-news this month, right? That we're putting out a call for designers.
I guess that's a good point. Do we want to talk about designers, or do we want to mention specifically that we're planning on redoing our logo? You know what I mean?
Well, I would certainly say that we want to tell the designers that they have the opportunity to create the new IJA logo. So
I think that could build a lot of interest.
Probably is part of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I see no reason not to mention that. Does anybody see any drawbacks to that other than it's kind of letting the cat out of the bag in some ways regarding our rebranding?
I potentially do, just in that if we want to try and time this, like you said, with the October relaunch of the website and everything, if we go that route, I could see it taking a little bit longer. I think if we just stay internal and maybe hand it over to Louie, were you offering to do to design it?
I am in a way, but I want a little bit of feedback. I want to do that with you guys and not just, like, go off.
That would be awesome.
Here's the three things I made, and you have to choose one or something. I want
to
work with you guys and refine it a little bit and see if we can do it internally maybe
and yeah. then go outside if it's not quite working or I'm not quite hitting it, we can start to look around.
I would prefer to do something like that just from the standpoint of expediency and just keeping the ball rolling on this. I think if we open it up to the general public, we'll get to the general public, to the jugglers, we'll get bogged down in, you know, do they want this or not, and also just gathering all of the possibilities will take a little longer. So I haven't heard any, really any negative feedback about anything Louis has done, so I see no reason
to
really
into
work outside of him at the moment.
But
so maybe we could,
this is
me. I like to just kind of like roll with things if they're working, and this seems like one of those times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm very open to the opinions of others. I'm used to working in a design process where I have people over my shoulder, and we can poke and poke and move this over here, tweak that over there, and I know it's a kind of an iteration game you play with a group of people. So I'm used to that process, and I'm not offended by, hey, I don't like it. It's like, okay, well, let's talk about what we can do to change it. Where do we need to go? But having something to start with, I think, is important.
This is good to hear, too, though, because, I mean, now we know we're not going to hurt Louis' feelings if we're like, no, we don't like this one, you know, and he's a known quantity. We don't know what other people will be like. To me, it's just,
how about
this works, let's go with it. So,
how about this? How about in the call, we'll mention, you know, we're looking for AMS managers, et cetera, whatever, but we're also looking for, you know, potential people to help with images, but we won't say anything about redesigning the logo. That way that part's kind of ambiguous for now.
Because there's a lot of artists who could add, like, little pictures to the edges of websites or little pieces of juggling art that can kind of enhance the whole look and feel of the,
yeah,
exactly, kind of the edge of it that I can't quite hit. Having different people's point of view in that sort of world would be very, really nice.
Okay.
The logo to me is a very, very important, very, very important thing. And so having it in someone's hands who we trust and we know does good work and does it in a timely manner, that's way more important to me at this point. So,
If we're going to ask for specific help with graphic design in the e-newsletter, we need that written up right now. Basically, the e-newsletter just lists all the positions. One of them is the graphic designer. It says, is anybody interested in, you know, in any of these positions, and if so, write us a letter and tell us why. And there is a link to the website which describes what some of the positions do. Some of them are not described. But if you want to specifically get somebody for graphic design, I would add that to the call that Mike is going to write up here about the website.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Do people agree? Do we want, and then just not mention that we're just redesigning behind a logo? Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can.
Is that agreeable?
I think we can maybe even mention we're redesigning the logo, but maybe not ask for any help with that. Like, to me, that's either way is fine.
Because if you do mention it, somebody might be like, oh, I've always had this great image in my head. I'm going to mail it to them. They're like, hey, cool, let us pay you for that. I don't want to have this could go on and on.
We'll just put it all out there. I don't really have a strong opinion either way if we mention the logo specifically, so I'll just leave that up to the discretion of how the article is written. Unless somebody feels really passionately the other way, then I'll just let them make that decision.
Okay.
Does anybody have a strong decision either way? Okay, cool. Well, that's a lot.
One thing about the bylaws, I believe the bylaws were probably written ex post facto, as it were, to describe the current logo so that they could incorporate the logo into the bylaws. Otherwise, the bylaws are in text, so there's no way to put a drawing in there. And I think that was just a way to officialize that logo. So you do the same thing with a new logo the same way.
Do you know, is that common, Martin, to make a bylaw to describe the logo after the fact? Is that just for branding purposes? Like, what is the purpose of that?
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily do it after the fact. It makes that logo be the official logo.
It was perhaps done
at the creation of the logo. I don't know when that was added to the bylaws.
So it essentially just makes that representation official of the organization. That makes sense.
Right, right.
Okay.
It's just a way to get a new logo.
Yeah, so, I mean, great. That's just something to keep in mind. You know, we can either make a motion to change the bylaw or just have it match that description. But either way, it's pretty straightforward. Cool. All right, let's move on to the – we're just going to touch upon these briefly. The 2015 Fun Fund. I know, Warren, you've been very passionate and integral to the Fun Fund in years past. Like Aaron Stevens mentioned, our new anonymous donor, Unamed, has offered to pay us for a few things, including a Fun Fund for next year. I did receive an email that went to from Una that went to myself as well as Veronique, and this new donor is very excited about possibly setting up a Fun Fund, and they were even interested in possibly doing a system that involves kind of like a donation match, where for every X number of dollars that general members or whomever donates, the donor will donate that much more in turn, so it'll be a kind of collective pool. That was just an idea that they threw out, and basically I just sent the donor a message back saying, I'm very grateful for this. We're very interested in, you know, proceeding with a Fun Fund. Send me any plan you have specifically, and we can assemble a team or pass this on to Veronique and Turbo to coordinate. And so we're just kind of waiting to hear back, but it looks like it's probable we will have a financial means to have a Fun Fund for next year. Veronique is very excited about this. She already says that she has several local bands that she could be interested in playing to attend some of the events to kind of help with the atmosphere. So there is that. Are there any thoughts, questions, comments?
So, Warren again. I mentioned to you that I was approached by another individual who was willing to donate to make a
Fun Fund. Yeah, tell me about that, Warren. Tell us about that, Warren. What's up?
I forget. I feel terrible. His name is Scott, and I'm blanking on his name right now, and he's very involved in the IJA. He's one of our officers. So he approached me afterwards and said that he'd be willing to donate. No, not Scott Krauss.
He's one of the officers.
I think he's one of the officers. I might be wrong on Scott. That's entirely possible. Scott. Who's the Scott that's in Israel?
Scott Shelter.
It's not him, but it sounds like him.
That's Sorensen?
Sorensen. Yes. Yeah. So he came forward and said he'd be willing to fund it. But he also.
What name?
Sorensen.
Yeah. Wait, no, it's not Scott Thornton. Ah, hell, I can't remember who it is. Anyway, I've got the email.
Somebody named Scott, I perceive.
Yeah, I apologize because I don't have internet at my house yet since we just moved, so I can't look this up right now. Regardless.
Presumably he doesn't want to stay anonymous. Since we're talking
about he doesn't want to stay anonymous. He never told me he wanted to, so I'm saying his name. Or what I think is his name. Maybe he's anonymous anyway.
Let's remove that from the minutes, and we'll establish if he wants anonymity or not later, and you can be the talking point, Warren.
Yes. But he wanted to donate, I think, specifically to fund certain items. In particular, I think it was the lounge and the gauntlet. And when I told him that, you know, there was a possibility that another donor would come for, and he was like, oh, if that's the case, then I'll just let that donor take care of it. But if it, a question I had for you, I guess, is is the new donor making any restrictions on use of the money within the Fun Fund? Or is it just like, use it?
Initially, there was none made, but that remains to be seen. That would have to get discussed before they would make a formal offer.
Okay, cool.
The one thing Veronique said is regardless of what the Fun Fund came through, she did not want to spend any of the Fun Fund on any food items because she doesn't feel that food is fun. So it would probably not be used on anything food unless it was specifically mentioned as such by the donor.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So what I'll do is I'll maybe get back in touch with this mystery person on my end and tell him the situation and say that, you know, it's right now the money is not being earmarked for anything, and if that remains the case, Veronique's going to use it for whatever she deems appropriate, which could very well not be the things that he specifically was interested in having back.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good ways this could go. If it's something he could fund something specifically, or even if they end up doing that matching program and he wanted to donate some and be recognized, then the anonymous donor could match that and it could kind of snowball. So.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. This would be a really nice opportunity for him to do that. And then maybe that could take off some of the financial burden from him, too.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'll try to see. I'll keep my ear out for UNAMED, and if I don't hear anything, I'll, you know, shoot this donor another email, and hopefully they'll be more communicative than EWE, but that's another story.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
That brings up a very important question, I think, and that was in talking with previous board members, it felt some people felt like there was no written agreement between EWE and the organization, and that sounds like it's kind of a dangerous thing.
I agree. Dave Austin confirmed that with me.
Yeah, do we want to try and make some kind of formal arrangement with this one now, since we've learned from potentially past mistakes that this is not a good idea?
I like that idea, but I would first like to see a formal offer, then we could draft it or have them draft some sort of written offer, and then we could appropriately do that. But I agree that, especially when you're dealing with more than just a few bucks here and there for a small item, it definitely becomes important. So, all right.
Cool.
Is there any other mention regarding the fund for next year? Okay, moving on to IJA officer positions letter of interest. I'll try to sum this up as quickly as possible because we're running so late. Officer positions serve one-year terms as opposed to board, which serve 2 years. The officer roles are, you can find those on the officer page, and they're usually, we send out a call for officers every year looking for letters of interest. So basically what's going to happen is we're going to send out a thing saying, here are the positions we have open. Here are a link to job descriptions. If you're interested, send the board a letter of interest. And then once the deadline is reached, we will combine these letter of interests and vote to approve people. It's not common that there's a lot of demand for multiple positions, so oftentimes people can just get plugged in by default. But if in the event there is multiple people, there will be some discussion voting as to who to take, and a lot of that's based on offer letter and whatnot. A couple quick things I wanted to mention regarding this is Scott Krause, our treasurer, is not going to be returning as treasurer. Treasurer is it's one of the more integral yet harder positions to get people for based on the knowledge and the fact that it's not really seen as, I think, a fun position, but it's very important. Now, the treasurer does not have to be a board member, but like Martin pointed out to me, it is beneficial because they work so closely with the board and the finances. It's also good for the treasurer to be on the phone to provide financial reports every month. So I guess the issue becomes, do we want to have a plan if nobody volunteers to be a treasurer? Do we want to try to consolidate some of this with our paid bookkeeper, or what the plan is with that?
I prefer to, that worst-case scenario, consolidate some of that plan with a bookkeeper. Unless anybody on the board has any financial inklings. Like you said, that's a very important position, so I think it would be more beneficial to give it to somebody who has financial experience rather than just someone who's on the board.
I think the bylaws stipulate that we must have a treasurer.
Okay,
But there, I don't think there's anything that says it can't also be the bookkeeper.
Okay.
Cool. Correct. Is there any concern in having the bookkeeper and the Actually, I don't even know what that means. What is a bookkeeper versus a treasurer?
Well, the treasurer is appointed by the board, and the board hires the bookkeeper as paid staff. And we usually look for a person with professional experience, like a CPA, to be our bookkeeper, whereas the treasurer can be any person willing to serve as treasurer in an official capacity who would direct and supervise the bookkeeper. So the responsibility is with the treasurer, but the actual work is done by the bookkeeper. I think that's probably the fairest way to say it.
Treasurer mostly needs to be able to understand the financial statements, you know, not just read them out to the board, mm-hmm. but be able to understand them even if they're generated by the bookkeeper. So the treasurer would be able to recognize where there might be problems or
right.
their excess money and so forth. But yep. the detailed
okay.
work would be done by the bookkeeper.
Right.
Okay. Cool. So that's just something to keep in mind. We might want to consider approaching Dennis. I think in our offer letter we sent him, there was a provision in there to potentially have him check in with us at our board meetings to provide reports. So I don't think it would be out of line necessarily asking him if he could do that periodically. But we'll see if we get any volunteers for this in our call. Do we want to set a hard deadline now or just leave that up to Martin, is there a deadline in the article that was written about this?
Well, I think the current article says September 15th because that was what we used last year, and the idea was to get people to apply before the upcoming board meeting in September. And, of course, I don't know when that board meeting will be, but
yeah.
it'll be around that time or after that time.
I think I'm good with September 15th.
What's that?
I'm good with September 15th.
Okay, and you could have the same deadline for the treasurer position, or you could have a deadline
right.
if prepared, but it sounds like the same deadline would be good.
No, I think it's good. I think September 15th is good, and then we can kind of sort through those and then approve them at the September meeting. Does that sound good, Board?
Yep.
Now, the one other thing I would like to mention, we might need to post this online in the name of transparency. As I'm sure you've all seen, Aaron Stevens has been an incredible asset to the IJA over the years, especially with a lot of our international relations. She has expressed interest in continuing to work with the IRCs, but for that to make sense, she would probably need to be an officer. So she proposed the idea of possibly stepping into the role of international liaison, and if that was the case, we would create an officer position for that, which she would fill. Are there any thoughts on that?
I think it's a great idea, especially since we're called, we're international.
I agree. I think it's good to have someone delegated to that, and I think she is a great candidate given her track record. But my only thing now is, do we want to mention that in the officer call, or was it out of line to appoint someone without posting a position first?
I think we should put the call out, just in the interest of transparency, like you said, and fairness.
Right.
And, yeah, I think she's absolutely perfect for the position, and, yeah. So.
Okay.
I also like the idea, but I have a question. What about the different representatives that we have, like the European, Mexican, Canadian, are they active right now? They are working?
My understanding is, you know, they are official IJA officers, but they don't have a lot of workload right now, not due to the fact that they are neglecting it. It's just that we haven't really established any activity in that region that would merit them to take action. So
we generally just sort of ask them to, you know, and they usually volunteer for these roles, so we simply ask them to advocate for the IJA for membership
right.
and other and related things.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're active in doing that, and sometimes they're, you know, they don't have much to do or they don't come up with it much. We pretty much leave it to them on what to do unless the board has some specific idea, which is, you know, less common. Usually they're just figuring out, I'll announce it at this festival or, you know, I'll do this and this.
Right. You know, that's a very good thing, is you get known jugglers to kind of act as an advocate for that region. Now, I think especially as we rebrand and kind of expand internationally, it would be good to kind of test the waters with seeing if we could put little projects on these people or even talk to them and see if they have anything that they want to implement specifically other than just basically acting on our behalf as a representative, you know what I mean? But that's essentially what they're doing now.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would be great if we can make this officer international and work together with the representative. It would be.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Lucho. And, you know, if you have any ideas, once we get this new officers, maybe you can collaborate or bounce some ideas off us and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is there any more discussion on officer positions? Good, good. All right, moving on to the last very item, music policy revision. Again, I'll try to summarize this the best I can. I already spoke with a lot of the new board members regarding this, I believe, but essentially the IJA has an ASCAP license, which allows us to play just about any commercial music at our events, but it's live only. It does not extend to recorded mediums. Hence, when we release DVDs or post videos online or what have you, we cannot have the original audio track if it's a copyrighted song. That's why traditionally they've been dubbed or silenced or whatever. Now, this has understandably caused a little bit of frustration among people. It also kind of hurts, I think, in a way, the historical preservation because you're altering something as it happened and then presenting it in that recorded form. And not to mention, it also makes editing a little more difficult and time-consuming as well when it comes to the videos. So the board approved a motion a few months ago to write a new music policy. Now, the music policy itself hasn't been approved, but it was approved to write one, and the new policy would entail basically having a new policy where people have to use music that the IJA is able to have the rights to publish, whether it be public domain, royalty-free, or explicitly signed the rights to the IJA to use for this particular medium. And so
for video.
For video, correct, for video. And so basically, as video coordinator, I kind of took a stab at writing one, and I posted a very, very rough draft online. You can view it on the Board Plus forums. Like I said, it's rough, and I've gotten some feedback of things I want to change, and I think I'm also going to run it by Lloyd Timberlake, who has a copywriting background, and possibly Tom Wall, who's currently finishing his master's in nonprofit business management. So I want to get this thing airtight and then have it established ideally for next year within the next few months. So I would encourage everybody or anybody to take a look at it and give me any feedback, and then we'll bounce it around, and I'll present it a motion to approve that specific policy probably within the next month or two.
Where can I find the policy?
You can find the old one by going to Google IJA music policy.
Right, yeah.
Or you can find my draft revision on the Board Plus forums. I believe I posted something like music policy revision, or there was a music thread started by me, and I posted the rewritten music policy as an attachment about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
So let me pull up the exact thread here just so I can get you guys in the right direction. IJA website. And the forum's not functioning. Oh, here it is. Yes, just under new music policies, the thread, you'll find it.
Okay, cool, thanks.
So just one of the responses there, I posted the document as an attachment, so it can be read there. It's in the very first thing I posted. Okay, are there any questions or comments regarding that? No. Good. Well, I would encourage everybody not just to read that thread, but to I highly, highly recommend you to read the forums regularly. You can set them up to receive email notifications when new threads and replies are posted, or just bookmark it and read it, you know, regularly, because that is a very good way for us to communicate and keep projects going and new ideas. So I encourage people to check those out. Okay. Well, I believe this is all we have from the agenda. So now it's time to set the meeting times for next month, September. The way Aaron Stevens did it this past year, which I think was a good way to do things, and I think at least until the rebranding is done, we should continue in this route, is having two meetings a month. The first one is a vision planning meeting, basically just the board getting together and discussing what the direction we want the organization to go in and updating projects, and then having the business meeting towards the end of the month. So I think it was established Tuesdays would be a good time to have meetings. So let's see. How about September 9th for vision planning and September 23rd for the board meeting? Does that sound good? Are there any conflicts?
For me, this is Louis. The 23rd, I do have a conflict, but I can write stuff up. I can be there for the 9th.
Okay, we could possibly move it down or up 1 week if that is too much of a conflict for you.
30th would be fine, unless somebody else has a conflict there.
That's pretty late in September already.
Yeah, that's kind of a little late.
I might have a conflict on the 9th, but the 23rd or 30th should work.
Okay. Well,
one person is not a deal breaker. You're never going to get
absolutely.
When everybody's there.
Exactly. Yeah, especially
if you're aware, though.
Okay, the vision planning meetings, they're good, but the board business meetings are more vital, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The vision planning ones are less formal, but okay. So you say you might be able to...
Can I just throw in 2 cents here?
Yeah.
For communicating rapidly through the e-newsletter, it's sort of handy to have the board meeting, you know, around the 15th to the 23rd, something in that area, so that there's a little time to, if the board wants to put something suddenly in the e-newsletter, it can do so quickly. It'll, you know, there's always the next month, but that's just sort of
right.
The advantage.
Okay. No, that's good food for thought, Martin. My only thing is I'm not sure I want to have the board meeting on the 16th if the deadline for officers is going to be on the 15th. I don't think that'll be enough time to compile them and approve them. But I'd be inclined to go the 9th and the 23rd. I know Louis, you said you had a possible conflict.
Conflict. I can see what I can do to be there.
If you can't make it, that's totally fine. Just let us know in advance. And like I said, it happens, so... Okay,
and
let's
same
set those.
6:30 Eastern?
Correct, 6:30 Eastern. So, okay, we will set those. And now we need a motion to adjourn. Would someone like to make this motion?
I'll make the motion to adjourn. I was warned.
I was going to say, after all that, no one wants to make the motion to adjourn. All right, that's Warren, has made the motion to adjourn. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Martin, but we do not need a second for adjournment, is that correct?
That's how we've been acting.
Okay, that being the case, is there any discussion? No, okay. Does anybody oppose adjournment? Any abstentions? All right, great meeting, guys. Again, I'm sorry if it's so long. Future meetings will likely not be anywhere near this length, but new board members, glad to have you aboard. Everybody, thanks for sticking around, and I think we got a lot of great things coming up.
Great.
Thanks,
thank you,
everybody.
Thanks.
Good work.
Yep, bye.
Thank you, guys. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night, Luger. Good night, guys.
Night.